What up, this is your boy DJ EFN. You might know me as a drink champ, but first and foremost, I'm a proud father. I linked up with two of my other dad homies, Manny Digital and KGB, to start the Fatherhoods podcast. Each week, we bring you insider hip-hop stories, parenting, and advice and therapy. The saying is true, it takes a village, and we humorously serve as each other's trusted counsel in figuring out how not to screw up being a good dad.
The Fatherhoods Podcast. Beats, rhymes, and diapers.
Yo, Fatherhoods fam, when you're out and about with your baby and they start wilding out, what do you do? Most dudes are fumbling through the traditional baby bag their lady prepped for them, trying to find that one thing that will calm the kid down. That doesn't have to be your life. Dig no more. The firstborn diaper backpack from Fly Dad has over 21 compartments to have everything right where you need it to be for you and your baby, and keeping you fly through the process. Get $20 off when you visit flydadgear.com/fatherhoods.
What it do, fatherhoods?
Yo, what's good?
What up? Where we at?
Can I pose a question to you guys?
Yo, yeah. Love it when you have questions, bro.
How do you grapple with the state of our food and how we feed our children?
Ah, fuck.
Especially if you watch social media, which every other post is a supposed expert, quote unquote, giving you the breakdown of every single food out there and what is wrong with it. 90% of it, 99% of it being processed, not processed, but foods that are manufactured and put out as products. But even the ones that you think are like, you know, USDA organic or whatever, you know, non-GMO. And me and my wife, I saw something and I stepped to her on something last night and I felt her getting a little offended. You know, she was a little offensive with me, like, yo, we try basically, like, what do you want me to do? Mm-hmm. Like, and then I even, you know, I'm a pescatarian for about, I don't know, 15 years or something. So
which church do you go to?
I go to the Latter-day Pescatarian Saints okay, Church, cool. Right here down the corner.
The fish market.
For anybody who doesn't know, pescatarian is someone that just eats seafood for protein. I don't eat meat or whatever. I do eat eggs though and cheese. Yeah. But anyways,
he eats fish. Yeah.
No chicken, no meats, stuff like that. And I used to be big, you know, when growing up, tell me if I'm wrong, that chicken was always seemed to be the healthier of the meats.
Yeah.
Right. So I remember I would eat tons of chicken. One of the things that got me into the being pescatarian by way of trying to be vegetarian, which didn't work, is that I saw something that said how bad chicken was. And so then I saw something last night that was explaining it's actually Dr. Sebi's daughter. You know, okay. You guys are familiar with Dr. Sebi.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's his daughter, and she was talking to T.I. I don't know what podcast. I don't know if it was his podcast, but she was kind of, this clip was just about how bad chicken was, you know? And then
the second clip is how bad fish is. You didn't watch that one.
Well, I did watch, no, being pescatarian, I watched another documentary that talked about how bad this, you know, how dirty and fucked up the seas were and fishing and, you know, farmed fishing and all that. But anyways, I showed it to my wife and she was just over. She's like, fuck you, basically. Like, you know, like, and we had the kids that just made a, she had just made them chicken, you know, for dinner.
Yeah.
And she's like, she was like, fuck you, basically. She didn't say fuck you, but she said fuck you in another way.
She gave you the fuck you face. Like, ah, shit.
And I was telling her specifically because one of the reasons why I got off of meat was the hormones being pumped into the meats.
Yeah.
And the way that's they real. Were raised in these farms, you know?
Yeah.
And so, one thing that I've kind of worried, and we've always joked around, I think all of us have probably said this, you know, like, man, these, maybe when we were younger, seeing girls our age, let's put it that way, so it's not weird and creepy, but seeing, like, man, this girl's like, you know, super overdeveloped.
Yep.
And people would be like, oh, she and that, you know, that chicken and rice and she and that good food or whatever. Later on, it turned into, you know, what are they putting in this food? What's going on? You know? And now we kind of have the data and the science to say, well, maybe these hormones is why these kids are overdeveloping at younger ages. and it's throwing their hormones out of whack. And, you know, I'm here now with a son and a daughter, and I'm like seeing these things on, you know, in my socials, reminding me of all this stuff that I kind of already knew. And I posed the question to my wife, do you think, you know, we could avoid these hormones being pumped into our kids unnecessarily and too young of an age? And then reflecting on how we grew up in the food that we ate, where that's where our debate kind of started, where my wife was kind of like saying she didn't eat any better growing up. And then I was kind of saying, well, I do remember eating a little bit better because, like, I didn't remember snacking as much as a kid. Mm-hmm. And I remember eating a lot of homemade foods where my grandma and my mom, but mainly my grandmas at the time, would spend the whole day making dinner.
Yeah.
You know, by cleaning the beans and picking out beans and cleaning the rice and making. So, again, I don't know if the food was any healthier, but it just thinking of it in that context felt like, you know, seems like it would have been healthier. So, yeah, a lot there that I just threw on you guys. I just vomited a bunch of shit at you. So what do you think, Father?
So you're telling me that a fifth grader with a full beard isn't normal.
Are you seeing that? Have you seen that? Because they're going to need that Fat Joe rewind soon.
My son was telling me there's a kid in his middle school who maybe he's in seventh or eighth grade, but with like a full-on beard. He's like, yo, what is going on? He's like, is that why you make jokes about hormones in the milk? I was like, yeah, exactly.
I've seen it like eighth grade, people that look like grown ass men and they're jacked too, like athletes usually, like football players. A lot of the time you see that, and then like, you know, competitive basketball players. Yeah. Yo, fifth grade is crazy. I've never seen that.
Well, bro, and I'm hearing that girls are getting their period younger than they seemed, you know, used to. And it obviously there was always that anomaly of that one kid that it happened. So I remember in elementary school very vividly of a girl getting her period when I was like in fifth or sixth grade. And I do remember kids in junior high being jacked, like, but it was like the one or two kids that were into sports, and they were just like, they looked like freaking wrestlers and shit. But that was the anomaly. Like, it wasn't the average person. And now I feel like it's more and more of these kids having these, you know, going through this development.
I'm constantly having I have my moments where, because snacking is like so prevalent now, at least in my house, right, compared to when I grew up. And so when we go out shopping, I'm personally never buying snacks. Like, I'm always skipping snacks, and I'm just like, yo, why we need snacks? We could just, if we need a snack, like, let's get some fruit, and then we'll give them fruit as the snack. And my wife is always looking for the prepackaged stuff. And, she, you know, now at least I got her reading the labels to understand what the ingredients are. And I'm like, yo, if you don't know what the ingredient is, chances are good that it's probably some shit that we don't want in our bodies. And unless you do the research and then figure out why it's there. But otherwise, like, I try to push her away. But when it comes to like protein specific nutrition, I try to stick to the organic. Like, you know, unfortunately, it's the more expensive option. But even that doesn't convince me necessarily that somebody else is looking out for me at the grocer.
Right.
Attempt at trying to find something better to try to feed us versus just the run-of-the-mill stuff.
Are you beef, pork, chicken, fish, everything in the house?
Takes all the beef.
Yeah, we're animal agnostic. We try to keep the pork to a minimum. But we're heavy on the chicken.
And that's the one that I'm
not at. Not at.
Mm.
But like it's different though. Like, if you're going to KFC, I'd say, yeah, be careful. Because we don't even know if we can call that shit
chicken. But why KFC? If you're buying from the grocery store, and that's been proven time and time again, that all these organic labels are kind of bullshit.
Bullshit, yeah. That's my fear every time I pick one up. But even the way it looks, and you can make shit look the way you want, right? But when I just compare the packages, like, not the packaging, but the actual stuff in the packages, I could notice a difference. Like, the non-organic shit kind of looks a little sickly compared to the organic shit.
Yeah, it means they're more lazy about packaging, and they know they're getting more premium rates on this, so they're going to package it. Just like how they pump supposedly pink into salmon.
Yeah. Hmm.
To make it look nice and healthy.
Do you do farm fish at all, E, or no?
I mean, when I'm just being lazy, I don't give a fuck, but
right.
Most of the time I'm looking for, well, I'm probably lying right now that most of the time, but when I'm buying the groceries, yes, I'm trying to find the wild caught fish. Right. But even then you feel like shit, like this poor fucking animal is chilling, living its freedom.
Yo, listen.
I mean, that's a whole different debate, right?
Yeah, I try to get, I know, I don't know why I went on that one, but yeah, I try to get the wild caught stuff versus, you know, whatever.
I think it's all moderation, honestly. Like,
we can't live in moderation, bro. Just get out of
there. No, we have to, though. I mean, and also, it's just like, how do you feel after you eat something, right? Kind of being, learning how to be in tune with your body, and then also teaching that to your kids in terms of, all right, if you eat too much sugar, you're probably going to feel like shit afterwards. And so that should tell you to start to learn to regulate, or too much processed, or, you know, too much whatever. But I mean, you know, I used to eat red meat years ago. Not a lot, but I mean, it wasn't like it was totally off my list. But then, I don't know, it was one day I ate a steak and I felt like shit afterwards. I'm like, I'm not eating this again. So it was one of those things of, yeah, I don't know. There's a part of me that's like, all right, it'd be nice to take a hard stance in terms of like, you know, I'm vegetarian or I'm vegan, or, you know, from also just from kind of a moral standpoint. But then there's also a part of me that's like, you know, I don't want to box myself or my family in necessarily. And if I could find, again, going back to moderation, of just like the foods that are healthy enough, and that work for us. Because I don't know, I look at other people in other countries sometimes, and, you know, it seems like, some countries are definitely less processed foods, and there seems to be more of a kind of variety of food that's eaten. And there's not quite as many health problems, generally speaking, you know, derived from what people are eating and things. So I think it's just trying to find that balance, and again, paying attention to how your body feels when you eat something.
But even like the difference between eating out and eating, you know, prepping your own food.
Right.
I think that in and of itself is a huge advantage if you're making your own food. The quality of the specific ingredients, I know, plays a role, but you know exactly, like, you're going to be a lot more conscious about, if you're frying something as an example, which is probably the worst route to take, but if you are doing that, you're going to be a lot more conscious about how much oil you use, how old what type the oil, of oil is,
right?
What type of oil, all that kind of stuff, right? And so you're going to provide you and your family a much healthier option that way. But then the balance of all of that too, is like, you might be more conscious of like, yo, I know I should probably throw some fruit or vegetable into the mix as well. All that is beneficial, because the easy route for a lot of folks is, yo, I'm going to just go stand on this drive-through, get X, Y, or Z meal. And those people, a lot of times, don't even give a fuck. They're workers, right? And so the quality of what you're going to get is going to be substantially less.
Well, it's not even, don't put it on the workers. It's the corporate, the company that makes the food that the workers,
the way they're set
up
is just not for your advantage.
But the thing is what you're explaining is absolutely correct, but it's not fair to the average family that is in this hustle and bustle where these convenient foods make it easy for them to live their lives, right? And that's where I think the conundrum is.
I think you can also see it, like, you can physically see it also on folks as well. It's like, and I have to, you know, this is a combo that we have with our son oftentimes. It's like, we also have to be like super thankful that we're in a position where we have access to choice, and like, you know, have some different stores around us that have fresh produce, and, you know, if organic stuff, if we want to go that route, you know, and you know, you could drive through some neighborhoods and you're not going to find, you'll find the bodega that sells whatever, or it's the, You know, there's no grocery store that sells fresh product, and so that's a, you know, that's a big problem in itself, because you're already cutting out options.
Yeah, and then I guess it just boils down to how much is too much, and because like I also don't want to limit, you know, my kids from having those experiences that I remember growing up, you know, like the pizza day, or you know, or the occasional fast food, you know, nuggets or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I'm not, you wonder, does that. No, we don't do it a lot. But I'm just, but that's what I was.
Even no, meaning I'm not hardcore on the like.
Oh,
against like, it.
Against it, I'm like.
Again, I'm just wondering when it compounds. Like how much of it? Like you think I only do it once a week, but if you do this once a week and that once a week, and in the month that ends up being six times a month, is that a negative compounding, you know, like, or is it not really that bad? And then the other thing that me and my wife were discussing was like, she's like, you know, she was telling me, she's like, look, because, you know, I've kind of put the dietary stuff on her plate. Like she's in control of that for the kids mainly. And it's like, look, you know, because I was like, how healthy are these pouches that we give them? These cheese sticks that we give them? These meat sticks that we give them? Because these are like little snackies that we can give them when, you know, when we're driving or in between meals. But she's like, look, I go out of my way to find the most organic things that have the veggies in them, you know, that are grass fed, that are low fat, and all these different things to try to make it as healthy as possible, knowing that they're never going to be fully the most healthiest thing in the world. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. It's just, I don't know. I just feel like sometimes it's not enough.
This is the problem with, I think, almost everything we talk about, right? It feels like it's like you can't control it, and like there's so many avenues to go down, which makes it really confusing and difficult.
Too many choices.
Yeah,
too many choices, man.
So I this is probably too simplistic, and totally debatable. But really, I think at the end of the day, it's about establishing good habits, and those good habits vary as far as what choices you make, right? Because it's like moderation, like Kay was saying, I think is a cornerstone of that. Because you want to make sure that your kids understand nutrition at a basic level. And I can't say that I even do, because we're not taught this stuff in a really explicit way to benefit us. This is propaganda, and there's all sorts of reasons why we are kind of the way we are in this country, right? As far as like unhealthy and all that kind of stuff. So it's incumbent upon us to say, like, bring it down to the basics. It's like a well-balanced meal. What does that look like? If you're not into meat, then you got to find whatever that protein is that's going to satisfy that need. But you know, it's certain calories are going to matter, types of calories, certain nutritional components are going to matter. And you just got to cobble that together for your kids to understand as they're growing up. Because once they understand what it sort of looks like, it's okay to go and I wouldn't even call it cheat, because it makes it sound like you're doing something bad, but like go off and have pizza. It's fine. But just have an awareness of what you're putting in your body and counterbalance that. Because you're not going to go, ideally, you're not going to go, I'm going to have pizza for breakfast. I'm going to go run to McDonald's for lunch. I'm a dog ice cream as a snack. And then I'm going to have dinner at whatever, you know, a fast food establishment, and consider yourself having a good day.
Right.
So I think it's that. But when we put all these limitations on the kids, like in anything, they're going to want more of whatever they can't have. So those things should kind of be managed. Like you shouldn't feel bad, E, for being like, yo, I want my kids to have pizza today, and giving them pizza. Like, I don't think it's there's really, anything wrong.
I
want
to have pizza that day.
Which makes them want to have pizza.
That's okay. I'm also to the point where, you know, it feels like everything is bad for you, or there's forever chemicals everywhere. Everything. So anywhere you step or walk or eat or talk, like the shit is, something's bad for you. And so again, it just goes back to like, all right, let me just monitor. So, you know when you feel like shit, you know when you look like shit. Right?
What's wild is that you said, like, you know, you eat something, you know how you feel, and then you know what that's probably doing to you. And the craziest thing for me is that whenever I fast, which I enjoy, I feel amazing. amazing when I fast. No, like shit, nothing. I'm like a fucking superhero. I think my IQ goes up, my eyesight goes up. Yeah, I think I could be a supermodel. <Not playing>. Listen, but no, for real, like that must mean something though, that you don't eat for a day or two and you feel amazing. That, you know, that's the one thing I learned when I started fasting years ago, is reading about, you know, like you're basically addicted to these drugs in the food. And so you're now, you know, you go through withdrawal, and then once you're out of it, you feel like $1 million. It's like, I wish it was safe to like have kids go through fast for like a week. It would be safe for the wallet.
Yeah.
If there was a way to like have them experience the negative effects, and I don't mean like disease, but I mean just like bodily feeling of like going too hard, eating something, you know, for a period of in a microcosm. Because like, for instance, like my son, he's in fifth grade. They do the DARE program at the school. Mm-hmm. And they have a bunch of ways to like teach them about drugs and alcohol and like what to think about that and whatnot. A little bit of a brainwashing exercise, but I don't mind it.
Do they crack the egg on the?
No, but they
do. This is your brain on drugs?
Your drugs, yeah.
But they have drunken goggles. Have you heard of this?
No.
So they put on like goggles that blur their vision and make them look like a drunk person, feel and look.
I should put those on Drink Champs.
That's how my eyesight is normally like now.
But that's just... It scared my son into understanding like what a drunken person is experiencing.
Right.
And there was a moment a few weeks ago where I was out with a few friends. We were all out. Our families came with us, and then the guys decided to stay, and then the families left, like the wife and kids all left. And my kids are like waiting for me to get up and leave with them, because they're, you know, we roll together all the time. And my wife is like, no, dad's going to stay with his buddies and they're going to have some drinks. And my son remembered the drunken goggles thing from his DARE class. And he was like panicked, like on the way home, mom, I don't want dad driving, blah, blah, blah. Like, tell him that he can call officer such and such, like the guy, the police officer that did the DARE class,
yeah,
that the police department will pick him up and take him home as a, like a courtesy, like tell him not to drive at all. Not to get in the car with any of his friends. He was mad, like serious. And I see the text come through. My wife is telling me what he said. And I'm laughing. But then at the same time, I'm like, yo, he's not wrong. He's absolutely right. And it's dope that he even has that awareness. So anyway, I wish there was something like that for food, where they can kind of feel those ill effects. And then that can help them, I think, more or less feel their way through what they want and what they don't want.
I just show my kids my belly and I'm like, look, you don't want this, so don't eat that.
Do they clown you about like
nah. It's funny because I'd expect it, you know, but nah, they don't say shit.
I find like I've done a bunch of different things. Like I've had people with cancer in my family, right? And they know of it, but they didn't see them experiencing cancer. Right. And so they don't have an understanding of what that really means as far as an impact. But I tell them like, yo, there's like sugar. There's a lot of studies that say sugar, it correlates to, you know, cancer. And you can say that for a ton of different foods. Right. But I try to put the fear of God in them when they're like going ham on candy, and I bring cancer into the equation. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, dumbass. First and foremost, like that's a fucking... You're going off the deep end, number one. And number two, like, they don't have a frame of reference. You can say cancer till you're blue in the face. They don't know what that shit looks like, what it might feel like. And right. I don't want to necessarily put that shit in their head. Like, yo.
Right, because then anything that has sugar in it, they're going to be like, oh, shit, I'm going to get cancer.
Or even themselves, anything that, oh, I have cancer all of a sudden.
Yeah. So I'm always trying to figure out what's the right dose of, like, reality that I got to hit them with in order for them to... Not necessarily stop eating candy in that moment, but be cognizant of what they're putting in their body so they can kind of manage the balance.
And well, we had that. My daughter went to the dentist yesterday, and she had some plaque buildup that they were like, yo, we're gonna have to clean that out, and she did not enjoy it.
Yeah.
And so, and then they had put her molars grew in, and they had put a coat of something between the molar and the other tooth, I said, yeah, to prevent stuff from getting in between them. Have your kids had to do that?
No, never heard of that.
Yeah, they put something there, and she chewed on her vitamin gummy that we give her, and one of them already came off.
Oh, damn.
She's like, my tooth fell off. We're like, no, that's the coat that they put, so now we got to take her back. But we did use that whole experience to say, look, because she's gotten into this candy thing because I don't know what's going on in this damn public school where they're just like candy's like a normal thing, and parents pack candy for the kids' lunch. Like, her friends have candy in their lunchbox.
Absolutely.
I don't get it. And so we're telling her, you see, this is why you shouldn't have so much candy. You're going to have that issue. And we have to, like, we can't just tell her you can't have candy because she's obviously going to do it when we're not looking at school.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so hopefully that scared her a little bit.
I have a pro parenting tip around that experience you just had. All right, listeners, listen close. Get closer to the speaker. So now that we have the advancement of cell phones that have cameras, remember to record their experience. So in your example, right, she's having a tough time with the cleaning of her teeth, and there was that correlation. The doctor maybe even said, like, you know, you're probably eating too much candy. You got to chill. And almost like interview them after the fact. Like, yo, you just experienced this. How do you feel? Did you like it? What did you feel? All that. Like, get their real granular understanding of the experience and keep that. Because their memories are like goldfish. They're going to forget that experience, and then that shit's just, they're going to go right back into their routine. But if you can bring that shit back, that's
every
one
day. Like, play it every day for them on the TV before cartoons.
But like, you bring it back as an accountability measure when you see they're going back off the deep end with, in this case, candy, right? And it may not necessarily stop them, but it does help them raise that awareness and brings them back to that feeling. So you're welcome.
Yeah, I don't think it'll work, but I'll try.
Nah, it'll work.
I think my daughter will be like, that's great. Give me candy. I'll deal with the consequences later. My son probably wouldn't, but my daughter would keep going.
Do you let him have anything sweet in the morning, breakfast time? Like sugared cereals or any of that kind of stuff?
No, I mean, very rare. They'll have maybe some kind of one of the healthier sweet cereals, but that's very rare. No, usually it's oatmeal or a hard-boiled egg and some, like, a bagel with cream cheese maybe. But they do have orange juice or apple juice, which, you know, that definitely can take a toll. And then they have their vitamin gummies, which I'm, like, looking at these vitamin gummies like, what the fuck does this really do?
Right.
Loaded with sugar, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We eliminated sugar from our house, like, even for coffee.
Oh, yeah. I don't do sugar on the coffee.
We use a monk fruit sweetener. You guys ever heard of this?
Mm-hmm. I've heard of it, yeah.
Yeah, I love it. And the glycemic index is like zero, which is kind of what gives you all the effects of sugar.
It's like a Zevia?
It's like it, but it's
that shit. Does it have that weird taste?
Yeah, that shit has that weird, like, fake sugary sort of taste.
Which one has it? The monk fruit?
Nah, the Zevia.
No, the other shit.
The Stevia. Yeah. Stevia is called.
Stevia. Oh, yeah. Zevia is the soda that I get that has Stevia in it.
Okay. But yeah, but the monk fruit sweetener is derived from a real plant, and the glycemic index is zero. And as far as I know, like, I research it every so often just to see if anything's changed, but there hasn't been anything negative about it. It's just a sweetener that doesn't have any of the issues that sugar typically does.
But we can't forget that sugar by itself is not the only thing that's sugar. True. Carbohydrates, you know, turn into sugar. So,
yeah, that's a whole. That's that pizza day.
Then we can get into the whole carbohydrates conversation and all that crap. I will say that I have started drinking grass-fed vodka.
You serious?
I was gonna say that's not a thing, bro.
I don't know. Vodka comes from potatoes.
It was a little yolk, man. Lighten it up here.
But actually. Seriously speaking, have you guys ever had those, I want to call them organic wines. I think that's the classification of them. Have you ever had one of those?
Oh, you mean wine?
Yeah. No, but like without any of the pesticides. Toxins. There's like a bunch of shit that they put in wine that essentially makes you feel hungover.
Okay.
That's the sulfate.
I think that's right. I think that's what it is. So there's like, again, I might be, the classification might not be as specific, but I'll call them organic wines. If you OD on this shit, of course you're going to be, you know, drunk, but they don't give you that like crazy, like wine hangover that a lot of wine gives you.
Well, drunk or hangover, two different things. So does it get you drunk? Because that's the good thing. The hangover is the bad thing.
The hangover is what I'm talking about.
Okay.
So you don't feel, supposedly you don't feel those effects. I've had some. I didn't feel the effects, but I've only done it like, had it like once or twice. But there is something to that. Like having like the cleanest version of whatever that is.
I think that's, I think it's called Jägermeister.
At least that's what Kay calls it. You like Gold Schlongers. Listen, you got to send us the link to that. I want to see this organic. That's going back to the whole like the healthier choices, like fruit and vegetables. Then you'll watch like all these social media things talking about how disgustingly full of pesticides and toxins all the fruit and vegetables are, and you have to clean them with baking soda and industrial hoses to get it all off. Like, I'm like, bro, there's no... I come from the era where we just ate it right out of the fucking package, or right... I picked the fucking fruit in the middle of the farm and would eat it if I saw it, you know? So...
It's like COVID times where you bring in the groceries and you wipe everything down.
It's like, and now they're saying that the wipes, you know, this probably makes more sense, but that those disinfectant wipes are carcinogenic now.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Like, get the fuck out of here. The shit that cleans the bad shit is also the bad shit.
Right.
Yo, come on.
That's why folks, old school folks are like, let the kids eat a little bit of dirt.
Build up their immune system. I agree 100%. No, I agree with that.
Let them eat some mold. Let them eat some dirt.
I'm not the prime example of health and wealth, but I survived the era where we drank out of rusty water hoses and you know,
lead infested everything.
Yeah, bro. Like, yeah. So I don't know, man.
Yeah, if you was back in the day at the Johnny Pump, like places like New York, you was catching lead all day long. So yeah, I agree with you. I think that the science does prove that, though, right? Like, you give them not a ton, but like, let them fucking have a little dirt every so often, you know? Like, get the immunity used to it.
Every so often is an understatement. Dirt was everywhere all the time. Everywhere all the time. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure I washed my hands quite a bit, but I don't know. It wasn't a thing. Like, you better wash your hands, you're going to die.
Right. Everybody had that kid either on their block or in their school that was dirty, filling the name, dirty Mikey, dirty Peter, whatever. And I bet you those kids are the most immune resistant kid, like
for sure. Like those people from New York that claim that they used to swim in the
the Hudson,
the river activity.
We used to swim in there, and there was sewage in there. Blah 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 blah.
They got the extra toe. It's nice, bro.
Yeah. You know what it might be, though? It could really be humanity's manifestation of negativity. Because think about it. We ate all the fucked up shit. We did all the fucked up shit. And nothing happened. But then it's like, now we collectively are saying, all this is really bad. And here's why. You know, these are all the toxins. The shit was always there, probably. But now we're identifying it. We're scared of it. And now it's like, I don't know. I need to see the data that shows all this shit actually affecting everybody.
Either that or someone's...
Other than being fat.
I'm scaring us into submission.
Yeah, which is very likely.
Well, do you guys believe in the whole fluoride shit about it being a toxin to make the population submissive?
I don't know what to believe anymore with that kind of stuff. Probably not great for you.
I have fluoride in my shit. Maybe I am being submissive. I don't know.
Well, no, it's in the water.
Oh,
and that's what they're saying. They're saying fluoride for the teeth in the moderation of you brushing your teeth and spitting it out is just fine. But we're over fluoride. Like, it's in the water. They put it in the water for optimizing the health of the population for people who aren't necessarily brushing their teeth all the time. And they're saying it's just too much of it. And they know that it's too much of it. Because people are just drinking their water and they're not telling them, hey, your shit has fucking Crest in it.
Yeah. Crest and chlorine.
All right, can we switch topics for a second on a lighter note before we head out of here?
That was heavy.
So yep. I had to go get my daughter from school this morning. The nurse said she was showing like a rash or whatever, and get her before, because she you know, being cautious, like the nurse is like, yo, this might be contagious. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but you need to go take it to the doctor just to make sure. Oof. And she was like scratching her leg and saw it or whatever. So she
needed the eczema again.
That's what I think it is. Yeah. But we're going to go take her and check it out. So, yes, can I help you? I'm recording an episode right now. Yeah. All right. Give me a second. Give me a second.
It's about right. You guys. All right.
Right.
But you can't come in. Right.
So she, that's her, by the way. Coming in right on time. So two things. So I'll go get her. I have to walk because both of our cars are being used. My daughter's taking my car. My wife has the other car. So I'm walking from my house to go get her. It takes me like 35 minutes to walk there.
Damn.
I pick her up. My daughter's a pain in the ass. Like, she's a princess. Like, she doesn't expect to be walking. I didn't tell her, obviously. I get her. I'm like, oh, all right, you ready for our long walk? And she's like, walk. I'm like, yeah, we got to walk home. I don't have a car. She's like, oh, yeah, that's right. All right, yeah, I'm ready. So we walk home, whatever. We're talking. She's got a pee. She's got like a raging piss, apparently.
Oh, shit.
Because she was like pounding water while she was waiting for me to pick her up. So we're like halfway home and she's like, Dad, I got to go. And I'm like, you need to hold that. Let's think about something else. I'm trying to clear her mind. And before we get home, she's like, Dad, I got to change my pants.
Full-on peed herself?
Like halfway. Oof. You couldn't really tell when you look at it, but she was, you know, she was soiled herself a little bit. But anyway, like, I'm like, yo, all right, go get in the bath. I need you to, you know, chill out because we had a long rest of the day and I was trying to get some work done. So I was like, look, I want you to go to your room. I need you to clean, not clean, but like pick up because there's a bunch of mess in her room. And she had a whole bunch of clothes. So she's like, I go check on her after like 30 minutes and she's like crying. And I'm like, yo, what's going on? Why are you crying? She's like, because you told me I have to fold my clothes. There's so much
But you didn't say that, did you?
I did. I said, fold your clothes. Like, put your clothes away. And I'm like, all right, so what's the issue? She's like, I don't know how to fold. Nobody told me. I'm like, Sandy, you know how to fold. Like, come on. And she's like, no, I don't. So I was like, look, I'm going to send you a bunch of videos to your iPad. And I want you to use them to teach you how to fold. Yo. 5 minutes after I sent her the videos, she sends me a picture and she texts me of like the pants that she just folded. Mad excited.
Like, wow.
Dad, I did it. I'm doing it. This is great. It's a little funky, but I'm doing a good job. I was like, awesome. I'll come and check it out. I checked it out. She's like killing it. So now we have like a daddy-daughter fold-a-thon. Because she wants to learn how to like perfect it or whatever. So we're going to do it. But you know, there's mad like clothes folding hacks on like YouTube shorts. That's what I've been pumping her with to keep her busy the whole day. And so far, so good.
Shoot me a couple of those, would you?
Yeah, I'm going to try that with my daughter.
Yeah.
I'll work them into the posts for this week. This week's episode.
Don't forget the organic wine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got to send you that too.
Organo-wino?
All right. Any parting shots before we go?
You have a shot of organo wine?
I would love some. Actually, I'm not drinking until my birthday. I'm trying to change some things.
When is Fatherhood's Live going to happen again?
We're doing it right now. We're alive.
So live,
and it's right. Happening. I don't TBD. Know, Kay. When is Fatherhood's Live?
TBD.
Got to get that money.
We got to pick a city and we got to manifest it. So we got to
manifest it. No, listen. Well, we
say
can do it.
Nah, say it. They deserve to hear it.
Let's pick a toy convention or a con and let's just set up a booth and let's just chop it up and let people come and bother us.
All right.
Or we bother people, better say.
So then it's Comic-Con Miami in the summer.
I'm in.
Know what I mean?
You got to have an amazing looking booth, though. We can't have no bullshit. See,
here
man.
You go with this drink chance fucking.
No, drink chance. You mean drink chance would have a crappy booth?
No, I'm talking about drink chance budgets. That's what I'm talking about. No,
I'm just saying, let's be creative. Let's do something. Something that's eye appealing. So people just walk by and look at this pathetic fatherhood. They must have spent all their money on their kids. Yeah, right. You're damn right we did.
All right, let's discuss. Now we got to go private discussion. All right, y'all. Holla. Till next week.
Yo, be a father. If not, why bother, son? A boy can make him, but a man can raise one. Be a father to your child.